All right. So in order for us to do this, let's just reconstruct where we're at, because this almost the entire daf is focusing on what we did yesterday, and hopefully will serve to clarify what was very difficult and very new yesterday. What happened was is that our Mishnah in classic, is one of the most beautiful Mishnahs in terms of confusion, where a Mishnah introduces various elements as different factors, and you're not able to distinguish which one is the precise factor that's involved, which forces you to examine all of the possible interactions of the factors. So our Mishnah did an absolutely brilliant job of introducing different elements in a way that left us totally confused. So it was talking about the question of what is koveya for, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't talking about that question. On the Pashtunal level, we were continuing the issues that we'd been talking about before. What is considered to be food stuff that you're allowed to use on Yantav is considered to be Mucha Miyantav and so on. The problem is that we introduced a situation where you had peyrot that were muktzin, so you were drying things, let's say, for raisins on the roof. And what the Mishnah seemed innocently to suggest was that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to define what it is you want to eat from Yontif simply by standing there, and you can say, I'm going to eat from here tomorrow on Yontif. Okay, great. The Rabbanan said, no, that's not enough. You've got to actually be able to draw a line and define precisely, because they don't hold the Breira. Now, this sounds like the good old-fashioned question that we raised before about how it is that you prepare pigeons. You know, would you have to stand there? Do you have to handle them? Okay, fine. So it sounded like it belonged right there. What the Mishnah did to confuse us is it very, almost insanely, introduced that the case was talking about where it was a Friday during the Shnat HaShemitah. So, what in the world does the Shnat HaShemitah have to do with it? So it's obvious there's only one issue that Shemitah could possibly be addressing, which is the question of whether this food would be edible on Shabbat since you didn't take off Maaser. Because during Shemitah, you don't have to take off Maaser. So the implication is that if it weren't Shemitah, that then you'd have another problem. Your other problem, I guess, would be that you would have to take off Maaser. Okay, that sounds all very nice and simple, except that there's a big problem, and that is that none of the chiyuvim of taking off Maaser, even bringing something into a chatzar, is sufficient to be mechayev you to take off Maaser where it was not nigmar melachto. And on the surface, the very fact that something was mukta and had been up on the roof in order to dry and was not fully dry because we needed this guy to define that he was going to eat it nonetheless, that would mean that it's not nigmar melachto. And then the question is, so then why did we need to define it as taking place in Shemitah? That was the question. Now, that Mishnah seemed to provide grist for the mill for the psak that we had yesterday. Reb Nachman, namely, that if Shabbos is koveya, so he was asked by Rove, is Shabbos koveya even on a dover shelo nigmar melachto, or is Shabbos just like a chotzer, and it's only koveya a dover shelo nigmar melachto? So he told Rove, look, I have a Kabbalah, limud aruch biadi, Shabbos is koveya whether or not it's nigmar melachto. So now Marzut Reb Nachman's son came along and said, yes, you can see that my father is right from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah stipulates that we've got to be talking about Shemitah. Well, why do we have to be talking about Shemitah? Anyway, you're not chayef to take off Maaser on something that was an old nigmar melachtoi, and since, by definition, this stuff is still up on the roof and isn't roy yet from nigmar melachtoi, the only reason why we needed to stipulate Shemitah must have been because since it was going to be used for Shabbos or Yontev, so that already is koveya it for Achia v'Maaser, which is exactly what my father said. Okay, so that forced us to look again at the Mishnah and to contemplate what the various elements are here that might play a further role in being koveya it beside Shabbos. So what we tried to say yesterday was that maybe all the Mishnah is saying is that since this individual said that I am going to eat from here tomorrow, that is in itself sufficient to be kofeya it for meiser, even though for some people it's not nigmar malachto. The guy says, for me, this is called nigmar malachto because I'm ready to eat it. And if that's the case, then maybe that's why you would have to stipulate that it was Shemitah. Not because you were being koveya it for Shabbos, right? Makes a lot of sense, except for one serious problem. If that's the case, then it has nothing to do with Shabbos. So why in the world did we not just take this Mishnah and put it into Masechet Ma'asrot to teach me the halacha that when an individual makes a decision that he's going to be eating something, then even though it may look to you as something that was lo nigmar malachto, the very fact that he said, I'm going to eat from here tomorrow, that is mechayev him in meiser. That belongs in Masechet Ma'asrot. It does not belong here in Masechet Beitzah. So to answer that problem, the Gemara said, well, maybe the further issue in the Mishnah that it wants to teach us, and it teaches us by a very precise choice of wording, which we hadn't noticed before until we came up with this idea, because it's not something that you would have suddenly seen until you realize that it makes a difference. And the difference is this. When the Mishnah says, a person gets up, meaning lechatchila, oimed adam, a person should get up and say, Erev Shabbos, that this is, or Erev Yontov, this is what I'm going to be eating, right? Okay, so now, if that's the case, then the Mishnah might be telling me something else. The reason it needs to be mentioning our case in which you are going to be telling me that you could do this during Shemitah and implying that if it were not during Shemitah, it would not be something that you could do. It's not that it's not something that you could do. You could do it. It's something that you should not do. And that's why the Mishnah says, get up and do it, baby. Why? Because it's Shemitah. But if it were not Shemitah, I would never tell you get up and do it. I would say, if you did do it, what's the difference? The difference is simply this. It's coming to tell me a major chiddush, that in the event that somebody did such a thing, and it was not Shemitah, and it was Chayev in Trumas and Maisers, and therefore the guy could not eat it. So you'd say, okay, so then it's Muktzah. You can't use it. Ah, but suppose some idiot comes along and he takes off Trumas and Maisers on Shabbos, you would be allowed to eat it. That's the Chiddush. Because since it's actually Maiserable on Shabbos, it's just that the Rabbanan told you not to do it, if it were done, so then it would be okay, but you can't get up and say that that's going to be what's going to be done. So therefore, the Mishnah put it in a way that we're talking about Shvias, in order to avoid needing to say if a person got up and to tell you, get up and do. So with that very subtle distinction, the Chiddush in the Mishnah is essentially the din that the Dibur per se that I want to eat this would be Mechayev you and Trumas and Maisras. The reason that it was mentioned not in Masechet Maaser, but here in Beitzah, would be to tell me there's no problem of muktzah if somebody took off Trumas and Maaser on Shabbos. And that tells me that Tevel Muchani Eitzel Shabbos. That was the Chiddush. So therefore, we ended up without being able to bring a raya as to whether this Mishnah was fundamentally telling me a halacha that Shabbos is kova'at for Maaser, even under Davar Shelo Nigmar Malachto, and is therefore more powerful than a chatzar, or whether it's telling me the Chiddush that Tevel is considered to be Muchan for Shabbos. Since I have no way of determining for sure that that's the point, I won't be able to bring a raya to the psak that we had yesterday that Shabbos is kovat even for a dover shalom nigma malachta. That was yesterday's daf in a nutshell. Now, that same daf is going to be repeated today for a reason that we are about to look at. And that is, since the entire raya that we were trying to bring was in our mission according to Reb Eliezer, remember it was Reb Eliezer who said that you can get up, not can, but should, get up and say, Erev Shabbos, I'm going to eat from here. Now remember, there's a Rabbanan in the Mishnah also. They agree to the whole scenario. It's Erev Shabbos, it's during Shemitah. The person gets up and says, the only thing that they differ with him in is one thing. It's not enough to just say from here, You have to actually take the part that you're going to eat and you're going to say, this is particularly what I'm going to eat. That was the only difference. So that means that essentially we might be able to approach this entire Mishnah, not only from the point of view of Rabbi Eliezer, but if we ignore Breira, we can approach it from the point of view of the Rabbanan. I hope all of this is clear, because if it's clear to you, then we can breeze through today's sugya. If there's any questions, please ask them now. Raise your hand and let's address them, because I admit that this is an extremely difficult daf, not because there's anything difficult to understand, but because there's so many new issues that it's easy to get confused. So if there's any
moment on the prayer, please.
The only issue that the Rabbanan differed with Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah is they said it's not enough to say, I'm going to be eating from here. Why? Because then what you take tomorrow is considered to be mivarer. This is what I meant yesterday. I don't agree to that. You can't say this is what I meant yesterday. You have to say exactly what you meant yesterday, because otherwise you'd be shemek on brayer, and we don't hold a brayer. That's a side point. It doesn't affect any of these fundamental issues that we've been discussing in the Mishnah. Are there any other questions that need birur, or can we continue? Okay. So today...
Is the fact that somebody would eat something which is not muhan a side point here in the Mishnah? Or does it affect something?
No, it's the fundamental point. Because since the guy said, that's what we said, there are two approaches. It was either that Shabbat was koveya, or that the fact that the guy said it that was koveya. It was his dibor that was koveya. Those were the two ways of approaching it. To say that his dibor was koveya left us with the question of, so then why is it here and not Masechet Maaser? Because it's not Nogea Shabbat. And for that, we answered, it's Nogea Shabbat because of a side issue. To tell me that Tevel is Mukhan for Shabbat. Okay? But yes, of course, that's the question. So now the Gemara says, okay, so what does that mean? It means that you are coming out telling me that the reason that I cannot bring a raya to the Pesach of Rabbi Nachman yesterday, that there is no difference between being kavua on Shabbos, whether it's Nigmar Malachto or not, you can't bring a raya, because the Mishnah is talking about, as Daniel just said, it's the very fact that the guy said, I'm going to eat it, that's what makes it basically Nigmar Malachto, and therefore it has nothing to do with Shabbos being koveya. It's the fact that the guy said it. That's Koveya. Now, we cannot, says the Gemara, we cannot accept that. Why? Because you're trying to read that into a Mishnah, which is Rebbe Eliezer. The problem is that Rebbe Eliezer holds that even in a case where you did a physical act to make it clear that this is something that you are about to eat, and you actually picked up things, you took them out, you put them down in front of you with your plate, you're all ready to eat into them and go munching, that certainly is koveya, more than just saying, right? And yet, Rebbe Eliezer Shita is that in the event that you could have changed your mind in the middle and said, forget it, I'm putting this back where I took it from, is enough to say that that was not considered to be a full commitment to eat, because you could put it back. So if that's what Rebbe Eliezer holds, even in a physical act, imagine what he would say about the nonsense that you're telling us that he believes in. You're saying that just because the guy said, I'm going to be eating from here, that means it's hopeless. Now you have to take off Trumas and Maaseres. He could change his mind and not eat from it. I mean, if he could even change his mind where he actually took the food out, put it in front of him, started eating, it's not enough to be koveya it. So kosher cane, if a guy over here never even touched anything, he just said he's going to eat it, he could change his mind, which would mean, according to Rebbe Eliezer, you cannot explain the Mishnah, which is his Shita, by saying, well, of course, the guy said he's going to eat it, so therefore it's considered to be Nigmar Malachto, excuse me. He could change his mind and say, I only like sun-made raisins that are dried. These no longer taste good to me. Fine. So therefore, halomot rochozer, is this not a case, the ultimate case, where the leftovers can be put back to where they were, because you never even touched them? So obviously you could put them back to where they were, conceptually, by changing your mind and saying, forget it, I don't want these raisins. And the problem is that Shamin and Leila Rebbe Eliezer, we know Rebbe Eliezer Shita. His Shita is that Kol Echa, the Motor Chozer, Lo Kava. As long as you could put it back, it's not considered to be a kviut. It's not. Hanotel zeitim min ha'ma'atan. Somebody takes out, remember that before you squeeze olives, you have to let them sit in a ma'atan, which lets them warm, and warm because of the oxidation, and it softens them. And then it's easier to get out the oil. A guy walks over to a ma'atan and he says, wait a minute, before these olives get processed there, I want to eat them. So he takes them out of the ma'atan. I'll dip them into salt. So if he takes them one by one, dips them into salt one by one, then fine, then he can eat it. But if we put 10 of them, or more than one actually, the 10 doesn't appear in most places, and we put more than one down, then that is koveya. So says the Tanakhama. Rebbe Eliezer says, no, it depends. If the matan where they were was tahor, then he has to take off trumas and maasers. But if the matan was tamei, then he doesn't. Why? Because he could always put back whatever's left on his plate. Now, obviously, that means, we're gonna talk this out, that means that the guy himself was tamei. So once he takes out the olives, he can't put them back in, because then he's going to be metame the entire run of oil. And of course, the guy's trying to get a badatz hechsher here. He doesn't want tame oil. So that's the case. So we asked over there, who cares if it's tame or Torah, Maishan, Reish, Maishan, Sefer? And Rabbi Abbo explained that both the Reish and Sefer are talking about that the man was tame. So the Reisha was talking about where the Matan was Tahar. Since the Gavra was Tameh, he can't put the olives back in. So over there, Rebbe Eliezer is made. If he can't put them back in, then the decision to eat them is, in fact, Koveya. But the Seifa was talking about where the Matan anyway was Tameh and didn't have a Badatz Hechsher, and the guy was Tameh. And over there, he could put them back in. And therefore, since he could put them back in, so then it would be a situation of not having definitively made these things considered to be Gemar Malachtan. So how could you say that our Mishnah is because he said he's going to be eating? Well, couldn't we say that the Mishnah is talking about that the raisins are tar and the guy is tummy and he can't put them back? What the hell are you talking about? What do you mean couldn't put them back? He never took them. What's wrong with you? We're talking about conceptual taking over here. Stupid question is that. Alomus are in the Omdimain. They are where they always were. Nobody took them out. The guy said, I'm going to eat them, right? So obviously, if he changes his mind, they're back where they were. He didn't touch anything. Man, I've heard of dumb questions. Anyway, Ela Amar Rabshimi Barashi. Okay. Okay. You've got a Raya. Okay, you're right. We were wrong. Rebbe Eliezer could not possibly have said that the reason that we needed to stipulate that it was Shemitah was because it was the Dibur. It wasn't because of the Dibur. It was because of the Shabbos. We admit it. But you know what? You can't bring a Raya anyway. You know why? Because Rebbe Eliezer is not a good Raya. I'll tell you why. Rebbe Eliezer, Kamer, we're trying to bring a Raya to a normative Psak Halacha from Rebbe Eliezer. This is Rebbe Eliezer's famous Shita. Rebbe Eliezer holds that once you take off truma from something, even if it was lo nigmar malachto, then you have basically turned it into food. And therefore, you cannot eat it without taking off meiser. And there's no longer any type of achilas aroi. Now, if he's ready to say that just taking off truma is enough to turn something into food, because it makes it chashev already to give to the kohen, and obviously Barnea is going to eat it, it's got to be chashev. So therefore, Shabbos, for sure. And if it's, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I admit that Shabbos is koveya, but I did not ask you, Alibit Rabbi Eliezer. He is a famous machmer on this issue. I asked you, what's the normative halacha? Is Shabbos kovat even in a davar shelo nigmar malachta? You said yes. Don't try to bring me a raya from Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, you may be right, but you certainly can't prove that your father is right from the mission of Rebbe Eliezer, right? Because this is Rebbe Eliezer Latayne, the Omar Truma Kovat, and if Truma is Kovat, Koshiken Shabbat is Kovat. How do I know that Truma is Kovat? It's not. Peirot shetarman ad shelo nigmar malachta. And if you took off Truma before Gemar Malacha, Rebbe Eliezer says that's it. You're no longer allowed to eat without taking off meiser, even achilas arai. So Rebbe Eliezer oser la'achol mi'am arai, v'chachamim atirin. So therefore, don't bring me arai from Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, I won't bring you a raya for Rabbi Eliezer. As a matter of fact, thank you very, very much. I don't know why I was focused on Rabbi Eliezer, which is Das HaYochid. Let's forget about Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim and the Sefer of the Mishnah say exactly the same thing that Rabbi Eliezer said. The only difference was the Breira question. Do you have to mark it off, or can you just say from here? That's not a significant issue when it comes to what we're discussing, okay? So let's ignore the Breira. Thank you. Now, what did the Chachamim say? Okay, Tashmami Sefa. V'chachamim omrim ad sheyirshom v'yomar mikan v'yadkan. Okay. And you can only do this on an Erev Shabbos during Shemitah. Time of the Erev Shabbos b'shvi is v'lav barisure. But if it wouldn't be Shemitah, b'shar shnei shavua, where I would have to take off Meiser, then I wouldn't be able to do that. Why not? After all, it's not finished yet because it's still drying. So why must it be usher anyway? Aha! My taima must be because Shabbos is kovat. There you go. No, what do you mean? I can tell you that what is koveya is the guy's dibur. Now we're going to go through exactly the same issues that we went through yesterday. We're going to go through yesterday's daf again. So I can tell you the reason is because the guy said so. And therefore, since he said v'kan v'kan ani yochel l'macha, that is koveya it. Oh, come on. So if that's true, then Shabbat is irrelevant. So why is this Mishnah over here talking about Shabbat? Why didn't we put it into Maseches Ma'asrot and just say that if somebody says that he is going to eat something, it's considered to be Nigmar Malachto. That's all. It's nothing to do with Shabbos. So Ma'ayare Shabbat, afilo b'chol nami. Ah, because it wanted to also tell me the deal that we made yesterday, that you do this l'chatchila, and you couldn't do it l'chatchila if it weren't Shvius. Why? Because it would only be b'di'avad. That if somebody went ahead and took off Trumas and Meisers on Shabbos, then you could eat it. And that teaches us that bottom line is that if somebody does that, it's not considered to be hoil v'skatzer l'ben hashmashais, and that means that tevel is considered to be food for Shabbos, and it's not muktzah. And tevel is muchanu, etzor Shabbat, she'im avar v'tikno. If somebody went ahead and was metakein, it would be metukan. Okay. So therefore, we have the same raya that we tried to bring yesterday, and we're docha it in the same way that we were docha it yesterday, according to the Rabbanan. Now, meanwhile, once we brought up this sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, I would like to point out to you that there seems to be a serious contradiction in Rebbe Eliezer himself. So we're obviously still missing something. Because on the one hand, the Mishnah in Trumot says that if a guy was munching on some grapes, now munching on grapes that are attached to the Eshkol, is considered to be eating from a dover that is not nigmar malachta. Why? Because 95% of grapes are used for making wine, not for munching on. So therefore, your achila, as you're walking through your garden, is considered to be an achila tarai, and therefore you're allowed to munch on. Now, suppose you were walking through your garden, and you suddenly come into your chatzar, and you walk through the door of your chatzar. Now the question is, can you continue eating or must you stop munching? Because was the chatzar koveya now the chiyav of meiser, and therefore it's no longer roi for achilas arai or not? That's our question. So it says over there, Rebbe Eliezer says, keep on eating, man. Just keep on eating. Okay. So in other words, apparently he holds that the fact that the guy is munching on what otherwise would have been a dover shalom nigmar malachto does not mean necessarily that he is koveya it to actually need meiser, right? But here Rebbe Eliezer says that you could just go ahead and keep on eating. Fine. So a chotzer is not mechayev you. We know that already. A chotzer is not mechayev a dover shalom nigmar malachto. Ah, Rabbi Yeshua says, oh, yes, it is. You better stop eating right now. So Rabbi Yeshua, he goes against the sheet of the mission that we've had until now, that a chotzer is not koveya. He holds even a chotzer is koveya to davar shelo nigmar malachto. Fine. Now, how about, this is all in terms of spatial change, okay? How about in terms of time change? The guy is walking along calmly in one time, and he's eating grapes, and suddenly finds himself in a different time. How did that happen? The sunset, and now it's Shabbos. So now it's Shabbos. Can he continue eating or not? So the question is, was Shabbos koveya, right? So Rebbe Eliezer says, keep on eating, Jack. Yigmar. Uh-oh. So then it's clear from here that Rabbi Eliezer holds that apparently Shabbos is not Mechayev you, even on something that you were sitting there and eating, and you can continue eating it. Why? Apparently because it's not Nigmar Malachto, and therefore Shabbos is not Koveat Sabyas Lo Nigmar Malachto. Ah! So you see that it's just completely against the way that we just had Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, it's different over there. Why? Hasab Kiriktani Taima, Rabbi Natan Omer, Lo Kishama Rabbi Eliezer. You know what your confusion is? Time-space confusion. You think that when Rabbi Eliezer says that you can keep on eating, that he meant you can keep on eating in the same space. And that when he said keep on eating, you can keep on eating in the same time. No, you have to evacuate that space and evacuate that time. So when he said you can continue to eat, he means you can walk back out of space into your garden and out of your chatzar. And when he said on Shabbos, he means you can walk out of Shabbos. Of course, you unfortunately can only go forward, but you can walk out of Shabbos and get into Chol because now it's Sunday. And therefore, you can complete it, but you can't complete it on Shabbos. So therefore, maybe all that Rebbe Eliezer was talking about in terms of Shabbos being Koveya was Shabbos being Koveya for Shabbos. Fine. But over here, it's talking about that Shabbos is not Koveya for Sunday. You'll ask me, but what about the story of the kids that hid the figs? And over there, they hid them, and we said they could no longer eat them without taking off Trumas and Maizras. Even after Shabbos. How do you explain that? So explains Rashi and Tosfos. That's different. That's because you specifically, over there, the kids set them aside to eat on Shabbos. Over there, in Ochinami, Rebbe Eliezer would be Maida. That if they're set aside for eating on Shabbos, then Shabbos is Koveya. But if you just happen to be eating them on Shabbos, then Shabbos is Koveya only for itself. But it's not Koveya permanently. So now we've got another factor to consider, permanent Kviyut or Kviyut for Achila Shabbos itself. So this is, as I said, many, many different elements that we need to take into consideration. Okay. Now, the question is, remember that Reb Nachman insisted that Shabbos is Koveya, whether it is Nigmar Malachto or not. And yet when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that what Reb Yochanan Paskin in Eretz Yisrael was, whether you're talking about Shabbos, or whether you're talking about Truma, which was, of course, what we just learned by Reb Eliezer, that Truma makes you kvius for Meiser, or whether you're talking about a chotzer, which of course was the machlokas that we just had with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, or whether you're talking about mekach, which is another halacha in Maestris, that once something is sold, it's considered to be kavua, because that's how the interaction between you was defined. In all of these cases, the halacha is that these acts, Shabbos, Truma, chotzer, mekach, none of them are koveya unless it was a davish enigma malachta. Which is, of course, not like Rebbe Eliezer. And what's more, Rabbi Yochanan made these statements in order to make it very clear that we should not be misled by those who don't hold of this. So he needed to tell me about Shabbos. What we could have said, he needed to tell me about Shabbos in order to make us know that Rebbe Eliezer was wrong. But Tosfos says he didn't want to say that here because we know that Rebbe Eliezer is wrong. Because we never paskin like Rebbe Eliezer because of the whole story of Rebbe Eliezer. We had to put him into Shamta and so on. So therefore, we wanted to find a reason that Rebbe Yochanan needed to say this. So he said it in order lafuki min Hillel. Because Hillel said that if somebody gathers up Peirot and he wants to take it from one location to another, the word liktsor is an obvious mistake and it should say liktsot. Obviously, you can't move pears from one place to another to harvest them. That would be quite a trick. Okay, but you can move them from one place to another where there's more sun and you want to dry them out. Liktsot. And now what happened is that it became Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says Hillel is the only one in the whole door. Hillel Atzmo, he says you cannot use it. Why? Because Shabbos is Koveya, even though it was not Nigmar Malachto and you're waiting for it to dry. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan to say, don't paskin like Hillel. The whole door was against him. The halacha is that Shabbos is not Kovat for a Dover Shalom Nigmar Malachto. The next case, Chotzer. Chotzer is to tell me that what we just learned from Rabbi Yaakov is wrong. Somebody is carrying through the te'enim. and he wants to spread them out, his kids are allowed to still eat from them aroi, and they're potter min ha-maiser, because a chotzer is not kovein a davar shel nigmar malachto. And as we saw earlier, the Braita said on that Mishnah, Rabbi Yaakov says, I disagree, and I hold that a chotzer is kovea. Coming to tell me, you should know. We don't paskin like that, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's absolutely potter. Why did he have to say that Truma is not Kovein Adavar Shelo Nigmar Malachto? Because of what we just learned of Rebbe Eliezer. To tell me that Rebbe Eliezer is not the halacha. Lafukim in Rebbe Eliezer, Ditznan, Perot, Chitaramana, Chelod, Nigmar Malachto. Rebbe Eliezer says, well, you can no longer eat from them until you take off Meiser, even Aroi, and the Chachomim are Matir. And the last thing that Rabbi Yochanan said also was absolutely essential, which is mekach, and that is because of the bright. Halokeach te'ini mi'amar, if somebody buys figs in a place where just figs are not considered to be nigmar malakto, because people in that place will dry the figs and press them into the cakes of the ktsios that we're talking about, ochel mi'amarai, he's still allowed to eat them as a snack, even though he bought them, because of the fact that it's lo nigmar malachton. And he takes off meiser. When he takes off meiser, he takes off meiser only as demai, despite the fact that when he bought them, in this case, he bought them before they were roli. So you would think that, well, in that case, vadai, that you have to take off meiser, because who's going to take it off before? No, even in that case, it's meiser, only demai, which teaches us three important halachas. First of all, shema mina mekach ina kovat ala b'davar shenigmar malachtai. Shema mina, so you see over here, it's not considered to be a chiyuv yet, because it says that they can eat it. V'shema mina rov ame ha'aretz arma asrin, because it says over here, even in this case, it's not a vadai chiyuv, and shema mina ma'asrim demai mi'am ha'aretz. And you still see that you do take off from an amaretz, afilo b'davar shelo nigmar malachto, you still take it off as demai, and you do not assume, well, if it was lo nigmar malachto, why would the amaretz have taken it off? We don't say that, because in Mekach, it's possible that he did, because people were makbid not to sell something where it wasn't meisered. And this, why did Rabbi Yochanan need to tell us this if it's a beferish? Because lafuka mi'adetanan. He wanted to make sure that the Mishnah in Meisres, that said, that if somebody switches peirot with another guy, so it's a bartering arrangement, which is Mekach lahalok, it's the same deal. If both of them want to eat it, I intend to eat my figs and you intend to eat your figs, or I intend to dry my figs and you intend to dry your figs, or I intend to eat my figs and you intend to dry your figs, it makes absolutely no difference. You're still chayef to take off meisers because of the act of Mekach. Reb Yehuda Eimer, no. Only if you're going to eat them, then you're mechuyev, because since you're ready to eat them fresh without any further drying, so that's considered to be nigmar malachto. But if you still were liktsot, it's not considered to be nigmar malachto. So what Rabbi Yehuda was saying was that even though there was a mekach, that's not mechayev you to take off meisers if it was lo nigmar malachto, and comes along Rabbi Yochanan to say, yes, indeedy, that's the way we paskin, and you better be careful in that case not to think that this is a case which is koveya, even on a davar that is lo nigmar malachto. So in all four cases, lo nigmar malachto, we're ready for our kapitan. Come in, please, kapitan. Come in, please. Hadran alach hamevi. Oh, my gosh. Next. Now the question is, what is considered to be a tircha yetera on Yantav in a mokum where you will be losing money? It turns out that the Chachomim took into consideration financial losses and allowed you to be oisik in something as long as it isn't overly tircha, even though it looks like the problem of moving things around that we had before, and we said you're not allowed to make a big move. There's one way that you can make a big move, and that is if you are lucky enough to have a skylight on your roof, and the rains are coming, and you've got all of those delicious raisins that are just about ready, and if the rain comes, oh my God, the whole thing is just going to be, oh, what a mess. And so as those clouds approach in the distance, you open up your skylight, take a broom, and throw the whole thing down into the house, and then slam the skylight down. Can you do that since you don't have to lift them up? There's no lifting. There's only throwing. Is that okay? It is indeed. Mashilin perot derech aruba b'yom tov. You can do that on Yom Tov, and you can actually go ahead and you can throw it down, but you cannot do that on Shabbat. They were not matir because of the hefset moment on Shabbos, but they were matir for Yontav. Big chiddush over here, and it was mutter. So, not only that, suppose the roof starts to drip. Mechasim peirot bekelim mipnei hadelef, you can spread plastic out over things that are going to get ruined with water that's dripping from the roof. The same thing is true for Kadeh Yayin and Kadeh Shemen. You can cover them up because the water could damage them. And what's more, if it's leaking into your home all over your carpets, you're allowed to put something down there to catch the water. And now the question is, what is the correct girsa in the Mishnah? We have the girsa in the name of the perek called Meshilin. But there were some people who had the girsa in the Mishnah, and the name of the perek was Mashchilin. So Itmar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Nosson had different girsa. One of them had the first word as Mashilin, which is our girsa. One of them had the word Mashchilin. And as Marzutra points out, look, neither of them are wrong because the words mean the same thing ultimately. Mandatani Meshilin lo mishtabesh, mandatani Mashchilin lo mishtabesh. I'll prove it to you. Mandatani Meshilin, obviously we find the word Yishal in the Torah as meaning dropping down through, in this case, through a hole. In the Torah, it says, Ki yishal zeitecha, your olive tree is going to throw down its fruits as part of the klolas. So you see, yishal is a lashon of throwing down. Man detani mashchilin lo mishtabesh, because we have over here in the Mishnah and Bechoras that are listing different mumin, hashachul v'hakasul, are both mumin that are defined as the sarua, which means you have uneven organs. And this is what is a shachul? A shachul is an animal, shenishmita yerecho. It's got a dislocated hip, and because of that, the hip fell down and is lower than the other hip. A kasul is that one of his hips got higher than the other one, and it's attached at a higher level, and therefore it's uneven, it's not kosher. But meanwhile, we see the lashon of shachul, which would be mashchilin here, would mean something that was lower. So over here would mean lower down through the hole for perek mashchilin. Om Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, mandatani meshirin lo mishtabesh, mandatani mashchirin. If instead of saying meshilin, you would have said you're allowed to be meshir, that's fine. And if you would have used the lashon mashchirin, believe it or not, would also be fine. And the one who said manshirin would also be fine. These are, what, these words mean to throw something down a skylight? Well, yeah, look, mandatani meshirin lo mishtabesh. Because remember, in the Mishnah it says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, a nazir should not use like a kind of shampoo that has sand in it, because that can be meshir et haseyar. What does meshir mean? It'll cause your hair to fall out, and a nazir is not allowed to do that. So if you throw something down a skylight, you could call it hashara. Okay. Mandatani mashchirin also could mean that, because we also have the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim said hashechor ve'azuk shel shaparim, and it used the word shechor for a razor blade. So if a razor, you have the two pieces of a scissors, even though they were separated, but they're each one is a separate razor. So afa pishenechku remain tame. So you see the word shechor means to cause things to fall off. They're used for causing hair to fall off. Umandatani manshirin, also the tnan. We also have the other sugya, the Mishnah in Shabbos. Mishan noshru kelav b'mayim. What does that mean? It means his shirt fell into the water. And because of that, it says, maybe you would think people will be chashed you, that you wash them on Shabbos. No, mahalach ben ben chashed. But meanwhile, you see the word no share. It means to fall. So, okay, so you could say that you can be manshirin etak peirot. Or there's another place where we find that. It's not. We also have the Mishnah in Peah, ezeo leket, ha no share, any peirot that fall off as you're taking them off for Shas Ketzirah. Okay, so no share means falling. Now, it says in the Mishnah, Mashilin perot derech aruba b'yomtev, but how much of it can be moved? I mean, is there no limit? I mean, you're talking about a ton? I mean, what are we talking about? Atkama. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Asiv, Amar Lam Rabbi Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Well, it's the equivalent of what we learned in Shabbos. Now, none of you were smart enough to tell me when I kept referring back to the Mefanim in Shabbos, we didn't do that yet, we didn't do that yet. No. So I really wonder whether it's all about Sesame Street or what in the world is going on. But anyway, okay. I'm actually in Lamed Tzchus that since everybody anyway learns the daf in advance, it chazes the daf after, so they didn't even remember that we didn't do it together, which is, that's for sure. Okay, so it says over there in Shabbos that Mifanim arba v'chamesh kupot shel teven v'shel tefuah mipnei ha'orchim u'mipnei bitul beit ha'midrash. So if you need to have space for your guests to sit, or you need to have space for the shiur, and there's too many people, there's no sitting room, you're allowed to move away four or five boxes of straw or of fruits, whatever. And therefore, it should be the same amount over here. If you're telling me you're allowed to lower it through the skylight, it must mean four or five boxes. No, but Dilma Shanei Osam, over there it's different. Here is where the Gemara introduces the elements that we were talking about. V'dilma shining awesome, de'ika bitul beit ha'midrash, avalachat alaka bitul beit ha'midrash, lo? Maybe you're not even allowed to do that much in the Meshilin, because there's no mitzvah bitul beit ha'midrash, or maybe just the opposite. Maybe the reason that we say that you could do arba v'chamesh kupot is because people are makbid on Shabbos, and people are not going to be mezalzel on Shabbos. But when it comes to Yontiv, where people, the moment you give them a finger, they take a hand, if you let them go ahead and take all that number of boxes, then they'll be completely mezalzel on Yontiv. And therefore, maybe klal klal lo, maybe in that case, obviously it doesn't mean klal klal, because the Mishnah says you can do some, but meaning yet four or five boxes, by God, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a couple of bags of raisins, not four or five boxes. So maybe you can't even think about it in the same terms, or maybe the exact opposite. Maybe the reason that over there we're only matter four or five boxes because you're not losing money with every moment that you allow the stuff to stay in the rain, in here, where there's a problem of Efsid Mammon, maybe you can even put down 100 boxes. I don't know, a filo to Vanami. So you cannot apply the Mishnah in Mefanim to the Sugya of our Mishnah in Mashilin.